in Matthew chapter 28. And I want you to look at verse 16. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16. The Bible says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him." Aren't you glad of that? They worshipped Him. What a sad phrase right after this, though. It says, "But some doubted." Listen, Jesus died, buried, and resurrected. He told them to meet them at a certain place. They met Him there, and some still doubted. If Jesus walked in this building, some would believe and some would doubt. Isn't that sad? Some would doubt. But anyway, I want you to notice verse 18. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always." Isn't that a blessing? "With you always, even to the end of the world." And Jesus said, amen. So I think it's all right to say that. Let's have prayer. Father, we love You with all our heart, soul, and mind because You first loved us. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by the Holy Spirit of God. We are a needy people. We need You this morning. I can't do one thing, not one thing, not one thing within myself. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're all that way. Can't do a thing without You. But I'm glad we can look unto Jesus, who's the author, the beginner of our faith, and the finisher of our faith. So I pray that, Lord, You'll save the lost. Wouldn't it be a blessing if someone got saved this morning? I pray You'll woo them, draw them, convict them, deal with their heart, their soul, their mind. Save the lost before it's eternally too late. Hell's a real place. It's a hot place. It's a place where they're going to be condemned for their sins forever. Then I pray for those that are saved but might be backslidden, cold, and indifferent. They'll get right with God. That they'll get right with God. They'll get right with God. Confess, forsake, and just plead the blood of Jesus. And then I pray for those that are fighting the good fight of faith, that You'll give them victory this day. Help us to exalt Your name. Help us to honor You and glorify You. Thank You for who You are, what You've done, and what You're doing in our midst. We're a needy people. We commit ourselves to You even now. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Take that. Take that. I wonder how you got that. That's good. Take that and take that. All right. This one I'm going to preach on, the Great Commission. I'm going to preach on go, preach, baptize, teach. Now, how many of you like basketball? How many of you like basketball? Anybody like basketball? Raise your hand real high now. Basketball. Okay? Basketball. Okay? Here. Now, this is going to be a good one. No, I'm just kidding. Who likes baseball? Who likes baseball? Who else likes baseball? Do what? Yeah, that'll count. Okay? Baseball. Now, this right here is nasty. It'll get all over you. I ain't going to give this to anybody. Who likes volleyball or soccer? Okay? Well, good. I'm not going to throw that to you because that's a mess. Of course, this ain't no bet. I tell you what, y'all going to have to get some new new sports equipment. I'm telling you, this is tough right here. Who likes football? Who likes football? Good catch. All right. No, that's a different sport. Who likes tennis? Who likes tennis? Wait a duck. Who likes tennis? All right. Well, listen, that's what we're going to do. Now, most time when you play sports, you always have a cheer, right? Right? Okay. All right. Yep. I'll tell you what, we're going to have to do this, loosen y'all up a little bit. You know, we're in prison, we always say, God is good. All the time, God is good. All the time, God is good. Okay? Let's say it together. God is good! Y'all got to do better than that. I tell you what, y'all ain't played sports in I don't know how long. Amen? All right. God is good! God is good! All the time! He's worthy. Amen? Amen. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to do a cheer. Okay? So when I tell you this, when I point to you, you got to stand up. Okay? Go! Preach! Baptize, teach. Sit down. Go, preach, baptize, teach. Go, preach, baptize, teach. I want y'all to help me, okay? Now you got to do it loud, all right? All right? All right? All right? Go,
preach, baptize, teach.
Okay, I want y'all to sit right here right now. I'm going to use y'all in just a minute, but right now we're going to do some preaching. So I want you to look in Matthew chapter 28, and our message is go preach, baptize, teach. In the Great Commission, and by the way, the Great Commission is to the church. Am I right about that? The Great Commission is to the
church.
Great Commission is to the
church.
Y'all not convinced. The Great Commission is to the
church.
It is. It's to the local church. So what I'm saying is, I know that God was speaking to the disciples, and He was. And they were the apostles. They were actually the foundation of the church. Now the rock, or the foundation, is the Lord Jesus Himself. And even Jesus said, upon this rock, in other words, upon Himself, the foundation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevent against the church. But He also, the disciples, were basically the beginning of the church. God used the disciples in a wonderful way, and thank God for that. And God will use you, and God will use me in a wonderful way too. So the message is actually to the church, the local church. And so anyway, thank God for the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is to the church. I just want you to remember that. It's to the local church. And so anyway, we see several things about the church. The disciples of the church, thank God for them. And thank God for Peter. How'd you like to preach on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 souls get saved? If one person got saved, I'd shout her out and say amen right there. If three got saved, it would be a blessing. But 3,000? 3,000. Later on, in Acts chapter 5, 5,000. Isn't that something? All I know is this. God uses the church. He does. He uses the church. And I thank God for the church. And so anyway, you ought to be found faithful to the local church. And thank God for the church. So the Great Commission of the church is to go preach, baptize, teach. And so anyway, let me give you about five things concerning the Great Commission, the go, the preach, the baptize, teach. Number one, I want you to notice concerning the church, there was an appointed place. If you'll notice in verse 16, this is what Jesus told His disciples. The 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had what? Appointed them. So appointed place. Did you know God's got an appointed place for each one of us? God's got a perfect will. God's got a perfect plan. Now sometimes God will tell you what His will is. I say sometimes. He'll always do that. There's a general will. Then there's actually a personal will. Now general will, we ought to all assemble together. And everybody said, amen. But God's called some to individual service, and thank God for that. So what I'm saying is, there's an appointed place. God's got a perfect will. God's got a perfect plan. God's got a perfect timing. Just so, and the Lord dealt with me years ago after I graduated to pastor. But I didn't actually pastor until 10 years later. And I'm not saying that'll happen to you. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is this. When God puts something on your heart, He'll start preparing you for it. And that's what He did for me. So anyway, I worked under Dr. Clark for 10 years. He was preparing me for 10 years. Then he let me pastor. Then when I pastored for 3, I called Dr. Clark and said, listen, this pastoring is too hard. Can I be assistant pastor again? So what I'm trying to say is this. God's got a perfect will. God's got a perfect timing. And in that timing, He'll prepare you for it. He will. He'll prepare you for it. So I want you to notice there's appointed and appointed place. There's a place to serve. There's a place to surrender. There's a place to be set apart. And brother, that's the local church. We're a called out assembly together. We're a separated people. Thank God for separation. I don't mean isolation. I don't think God has called us to isolate ourselves. But I do believe God's called us to separate ourselves. I think this hurt the church, especially the independent fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church. Years ago, the preachers, and I know I've mentioned this before, and you've heard it before, the preachers would preach strong on standards, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the attitude behind it was terrible. That bless God attitude, that won't help anybody. But if you have the right attitude and the right standards, that'll help everybody. So I think the attitude behind it is tremendous. But we are to be a separated people from the world. Am I right about that? You know, God actually used Israel to be a separated people. And God used Israel. It was the Lord Jesus through the tribe of Judah, Israel, that God allowed the Lord Jesus to be born and live on this earth. He was a Jewish person. He was separated. But He wasn't isolated. He dealt with a Samaritan. He dealt with the sinner. He dealt with, I was going to say Republicans. He dealt with the publicans. But anyway, he dealt with lost people. You see what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to say is, he was not isolated, but he was separated. The good thing about this is this. When anybody come to Jesus, they always left in a different way. Say amen right there. I'm telling you, they didn't go like they came. God always changes a person's life. You think about the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. He said, I don't judge you either. I don't condemn you either. But then he said, go and sin no more. He wasn't condoning her sin. He's going to deliver her from her sins. Say amen right there. God doesn't condone our sins, but He'll certainly deliver us from sin. One of these days, He'll deliver us from even the presence of sin. I can't wait. I'll be honest with you. Listen, probably the thing that probably hinders me the most personally is my flesh. Are you that way? That flesh will destroy you. So the Bible says, you know, you have to die to self, self-will, deny that old flesh, and yield yourself, surrender yourself to the Spirit, and God, the Holy Ghost, will lead, guide, and direct, and give you the power. You know, we have love, joy, and peace, the fruit of the Spirit. You don't have to work on love. You don't. You don't have to work on joy. You don't have to work on peace. The work is just surrendering, dying to yourself, and let the Holy Spirit lead you, because it is the fruit of the Spirit. So I'm not trying to work up love. I'm trying to yield myself to the Holy Spirit, because He'll work it through me and through you too. So you don't work it up. How do you work up love? You either love or you don't love. Either the Holy Spirit is on the throne of your life or He's not on the throne of your life. And you better examine yourself. And I better examine myself, because sometimes, I'm going to be honest, I'm leading my own life. I shouldn't, but I do. You ever done that? I mean, really. And so I'm supposed to deny myself and let the Lord lead me. So what I'm trying to say, if you're leading your own life, you're going the wrong direction. You are. You can be a believer and still try to lead your own life. It's really a daily walk with God, to be honest with you. I got to die not only today, but I got to die to myself tomorrow. And then the next day, it's a daily walk with God. But I want you to notice right here that concerning the Great Commission, there's an appointed place. There is a place to serve. The church, for God's people now, is a place to serve. In Sunday school, these men were preaching in Sunday school, a place to serve. They were practicing a song earlier today, and thank God for that. Who will go to America? Who will go to America? So the point is this is a place to serve. This is a place to serve. God has appointed a place for you and I to serve. And everybody said, it's the church. It's the church. A place to surrender. Listen, I guess one of the greatest places in the church is this altar. I know a lot of people don't go to the altar, but we ought to. Amen. When Abraham left the Ur of Chaldees, went into the land of Canaan, you know what he built? He built an altar. Everywhere he went, he built an altar, except in Egypt. And he sinned in Egypt, and he fell by the wayside in Egypt. But when he got back to Bethel, guess what? He rebuilt that altar. So we need to do some rebuilding of altars this week. Amen and amen. We need to rebuild some altars. An altar is a place of confession of sins and communion with God. That's what an altar is all about. So if you've got sin in your life, it could be a hidden sin. Could be an attitude. Listen, some people on the outside, they look so good. There's this one fellow, he had a lot of physical problems. And he was supplying for our church at Freedom Baptist Church. Of course, I go to Tabernacle Baptist Church now. But anyway, he come up there and he says, I know I look good. He said, but on the inside, I don't feel good. I got kind of tickled when he said he looked good, because honestly, no, I'm just kidding. But anyway, I guess he looked all right. But all I'm trying to say is, on the outward, sometimes we look pretty good. But it's the inward. That's what God sees. God sees the heart. And He does see the heart. So all I'm trying to say is, aren't you glad there's an appointed place? It's an appointed place. It's a place to serve. And it's a place to surrender. And then it's a place, I mentioned already, to be set apart. Listen, I'm not like I used to be. I'm not. I'm not like I used to be. And I'm glad I'm not. I'm not perfect, that's for sure. But what I'm saying is, I'm not like I used to be. And you're not either if you're saved. So there is a, God does set you apart. Instead of, and by the way, if you're not saved, you're a child of the devil. You may not realize that, but you are. Even Jesus told that religious crowd, and I was religious before I got saved. told that religious leader, you're a child of the devil. That's what he said. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil, whether you realize it or not. So if you're not saved today, guess who you're a child of? Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? A child of the devil. So anyway, when you get saved, you become a child of God. That means God has separated you. God has separated you. You are now part of the family of God. You're a child of God, heirs with God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You are a separated people. So thank God, concerning the Great Commission, it's an appointed place. Secondly, it's authority proclaimed. An authority proclaimed. If you'll notice in verse 18, and I love this part, and Jesus came and spake unto them. There's not a man spake like this man. You know why? Because he spoke with authority. He didn't speak like the priest and the scribes. He spoke with authority. So Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So we see authority proclaimed. I don't know about you, but he had God's power on his life. I don't know about you, but I can't do one thing without God's power. Not one. Listen, you guys that are preached, thank God, thank God, thank God. God's called you to preach. But you can't preach without God's power. Dr. Russell Rice used to say this when we were doing exams. He said, now listen, I cannot look on your shoulder, so I don't know over your shoulder. I don't know if you're actually cheating or not. But God sees you. So if you cheat right now, you ain't going to have God's power on your life when you preach. Isn't that the truth? So what I'm trying to say is there's only one great power, and that's the power of God. And thank God for His power. Listen, Israel was able to defeat Egypt. Why? Because of the power of God. Israel was able to defeat their foes. You know why? Because of the power of God. The only way we're going to be able to defeat the devil in our day, he can't possess a child of God, but he can sure try to oppress you. It'll be the power of God. I'm just telling you, we can't do anything without the power of God. You know why? Because authority proclaimed the power of God. Not only did Jesus say He had the power, and He did. He said, I have the power. And Jesus spake unto them saying, all power is given unto me. Given unto me. Given unto me. Then He tells them to go. So you know what that means, don't you? Not only did Jesus have God's power, but Jesus said, I'm giving it to you. That same power, that's something right there. That same power that I've got, Jesus said, I'm giving it unto you. So we can't go in the power of the flesh. You can't do that. But you can go in the power of the Holy Spirit. You can do that. So what I'm trying to say is God has given us that power, that power. Listen, if the church won't get revived, the world won't get revived. It starts in the house of God. Am I right about that? Starts in the individual, then it goes to a family, then it goes to the church, and then it goes out in the world. So if we're going to have revival, it'll start with God's people. It will. It'll start with God's people. Because God's people has God's power. It's not one nation's power over another nation's power. It's not white power, black power. Brother, it's God's power. Amen. So I'm just telling you, we can't do anything with God without God. Not one thing. You can't even breathe without God. Am I right about that? You know, these people, you know, years ago we had Desert Storm that says the pride of America. Well, that's... And then they have gay pride. Well, listen, pride will make you fall every time. It just will. You know, because of pride, there is division. He's talking about division. Well, if there's division in your church, you know why? Pride is there. Pride is there. So I'm telling you, pride will destroy anybody. It'll destroy me. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy anybody. When you start thinking you can do it, and that's what our problem is. Listen, I'm not against mission boards. Thank God for mission boards. I'm not against churches. Thank God for churches. But a few years ago, several years ago, a lot of people would exalt men, and you mentioned that earlier, exalting men. And, oh, he's a great preacher. Well, there ain't nobody great but God. In fact, we're not even good. I mean, really, in ourselves, if you compare ourselves with God, we're not even good. Our righteousness is as filthy, so we're not even good, okay? So much less great. So anyway, they said, that's a great preacher, and that's a great preacher. And that's what the problem was. They thought they were great. And they were taking God's glory instead of letting God have the glory. And I think that's one thing that hindered our movement, the independent fundamental Baptist movement, is because people were exalting themselves. Crazy. Just crazy. So what I'm trying to say is all power is given by God, and without God's power, we cannot do anything. I mean nothing. Now, don't you notice the authority proclaimed God's power given to us, and it's granted from heaven to earth. heaven to earth. Someone says, man, that fellow's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. Well, that's a good thing. It is, that's a good thing. So what I'm trying to say is this, if we're heavenly minded, we're thinking like, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. I'd rather think heavenly things than worldly things any day. Amen? So I'm trying to say it comes from heaven. So if God uses you in any way, it's all because of the God of heaven. That's it, the God of heaven. And so if God does anything this week, today or this week, it's all because of the God of heaven. The power comes from God and it's from heaven down to the earth. So the Great Commission, number one, is appointed place. Number two, an authority proclaimed. Number three, assistance provided. Assistance provided. Look at verse 19. Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Okay, now, y'all need to sit right there. You need to have your banners with you, okay? So what Jesus is saying right here is, He wants us to be His assistants, assistance provided. So y'all help me out now. The first thing we need to do is what? Go. Say it again. Wait a minute. All right. Go, preach, baptize, teach. Go, preach, baptize, teach. Go, preach, baptize, teach. Stay right there. So, aren't you glad God wants to use you and me? He wants us to assist Him. You think about it. Jesus is not walking on the earth anymore. So guess who He's walking through? Me and you. Guess who are His hands? Guess who are His mouthpiece? Guess who are His feet? Guess who is His heart? You know, the Bible says this, those that go with the gospel have beautiful feet. And I know I've shared this before, but really, if you look at your feet are not beautiful. Am I right about that? You got that big toe, you got four little toes, got stuff in between the toes. It's a mess, isn't it? But anyway, God says you got beautiful feet. You know how you have beautiful feet? It's the heart behind those feet that make those feet beautiful. It's the heart behind those feet be willing to go to a mom and dad who's lost and undone without God and witness to them. It's a heart behind those feet go to a brother and sister. It's a heart behind those feet to be willing to knock on the door. It's a heart behind those feet to be willing to witness to someone at the workplace or at the grocery place or at the restaurant place. It's the heart behind those feet that make those feet beautiful. So right here, God is saying that He is using us as assistants to do what? To go, preach, baptize, teach. Have a seat. By the way, you say, well, I'm not a preacher. Really? You know what preaching is, don't you? It's proclaiming. And I know there's a special call to pastor. I don't have a problem with that, or evangelists or missionaries. But everybody's called to give the gospel. Am I right about that? All it is proclaiming. So actually, God has called you to proclaim. Am I right? We're supposed to be, we're not. Not really. Not like we ought to be. A shining light in a dark world. We're supposed to be salt. I don't know why the doctor thinks salt's bad. Jesus talked about salt. We're the salt of the earth. I like salt myself. I think it's the process part of it that's bad. But what I'm saying, I like salt. Give me salt. I mean, how can you eat french fries without salt? A tomato sandwich without salt. And mayonnaise. About that thick. No, just kidding. But anyway, all I'm trying to say is, God has called us all. We are His assistants. Whether you realize or not, you're an assistant. You're an assistant to go. You're also an assistant to give. To give. I don't know if you give to the church tithe. But if all you're doing is tithing, you're really not giving. That's the Lord's anyway. By the way, He could have said, I want 90% instead of just 10%. Really, I'd rather keep 90 and the Lord have 10. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's a blessing. Am I right about that? Okay. But if He said, I want 90 and you just take 10, I'd be struggling. I couldn't hardly pay my taxes on just 10%. That's about what they take. So what I'm trying to say is, God wants us to give not just our tithe, but our time. These young people singing, preaching, witnessing, doing the cooking, making plans. I don't know about you, but you know what that is, don't you? That's giving. Giving. That's giving. You cannot give You cannot give unless you just give yourself. That's giving. You think about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it says that they gave out of their poverty. Now, how do you give out of your poverty? And it says, beyond their power they gave. How do you give beyond your power? That's when God kicked in. You cannot outgive God. You really can't. I know there was a time that God spoke to my heart about giving, and I really didn't. I mean, I had it, but I was supposed to pay some bills. But God told me to give it, and I did. And here lately, I'll be honest with you, I've been giving, and when I give it one day, God will give it sometimes the next day. You can ask my wife. I gave $100 one day. The next day, I got $100 in the mail. The other day, I gave $100 away in different increments, and I had no idea where this was coming from, and I got a check for $100, and they ain't never give me $100. So what I'm trying to say is, you start giving, it'll start coming. How many believe in sowing and reaping? If you sow a little bit of corn, you're going to get a little bit of corn. You sow a lot of corn, you're going to get a lot of corn. Well, if you'll just keep giving, you're never going to outgive God. You just can't do it. You can't. You cannot outgive God. So thank God for the opportunity to assist Him to go, assist Him to give. And it's all for the glory of God. You mentioned that earlier. It's all for the glory of God. It's all for the glory of God. This week is all for the glory of God. The singing this week is all for the glory of God. The preaching this week is all for the glory of God. So thank God for assistance provided. He actually commissioned the early church. I want to give you the fourth thing, assigned plan. Assigned plan. You got this? Now, in verse 19:20 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That word teach all nations actually means teaching or preaching, giving the gospel out. It's the gospel of God. It's the power of God. Amen. And you hear the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. So if you're gonna lead anybody to the Lord, you're gonna have to preach to them or witness to them. And then it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Then it says, teach them to observe all things. That's discipleship. That's discipleship. So right here it says, assigned plan. What is God's plan? To go, preach, baptize, teach. Go, preach, baptize, teach. Y'all going to help me, right? Go, preach, baptize, teach. Go, preach, baptize, teach. So that's the plan. And that is the plan of the church. There is no other plan. Is go, preach, baptize, and teach. I want you to notice it says go. Now, I've been in missions for 20 years, but before that, I knocked on doors. I headed up visitation at Tabernacle, at Freedom, and at Faith. So I believe the church is commissioned to go across the street, to go across your city, state, country, and then around the world. So when he says go, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part. So I think it's really important to go wherever you go. How many of you got saved or someone actually was real instrumental in your salvation because of work? Fellow witness to me at work, and that's how I got saved. How about someone invited you to church and you got saved? Okay. How many came and visited you in your home and you got saved? How many gave you a gospel tract and you got saved? How many gave you a Bible, read the Bible to you, and you got saved? Okay. Now, the rest of you, how'd y'all get saved? Really, how else? How'd y'all get saved?
Sunday school.
Vacation Bible school. Youth school. How many of you are saved? You know for sure. So if you die right now, you know you're going to heaven, right? You know you are. Okay, good. So anyway, someone had to go. Am I right about that? It started with me with a gospel tract. A fellow gave me a gospel tract and invited me to church. That's how it started with me. Then God started convicting me. A year and a half, I was under deep conviction. And finally, another fellow witnessed to me at work. Actually, he came home with me and witnessed to me, and I got saved. So what I'm saying is, you got to go. You got to go. And then you got to preach. Let me say this. I don't know a greater message in the whole world than the death, the burial, and the resurrection. I don't think there's a greater one. Do you? There's not a greater message. So that means you got one of the greatest messages that ever been told. You got a great message. A great message. Jesus Christ died, was buried, and was resurrected. Now, you can believe that and still not be saved. You got to apply that to your heart. Listen, the message is this. If you're not saved today, I'm not saying religious, because religious won't save anybody. Religion will not save anybody. I was religious for 21 years. I didn't get saved. Religion says, work. Actually, Jesus did the work. The work doesn't come before salvation. The work is after salvation. For we are His workmanship, created unto Christ Jesus, unto good works. So you're saved by grace through faith. So it doesn't have anything to do with you. One of the preachers preached, it didn't have anything to do with us. I mean, not even a bit. In fact, God had to give us the faith just to believe in Him. Isn't that something? So it ain't about you and it ain't about me. So religious, it's all about you. Religion says you got to work, you got to get baptized, you got to join the church, you got to do what the church says. I'm just telling you what. Church didn't die for my sins. My baptism didn't die for my sins, but Jesus did. Jesus did. So we got a message. So number one, you need to realize you're a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned. How many have sinned? That's everybody. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you come short of heaven. That means you cannot work your way to heaven. You cannot merit your way to heaven. Can't get to heaven on your own. You're not going to heaven. You're not. If you're not saved, you are not going to heaven. Period. Not on your own merits. So number one, we're sinners. Number two, we owe a sin debt. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is... The wages of sin is... It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So if a person dies in their sins, they're going to be judged for their sins. And Revelation 20, verse 14 and 15 says, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into that lake of fire. You do not want to go there. You really don't. You really don't. If a person dies and goes to the lake of fire, there's no hope. You can't get out of the lake of fire. You know, the rich man, he cried. He cried. I am tormented in these flames. You can't get out of there. You can't get out. So once you're in there, you just can't get out. And so anyway, if a person dies in their sin, they're going to be judged for their sins. The good news is, and that's the go, preach, baptize, teach, is that number one, we are sinners. Number two, we owe a sin debt, which is death or hell. But number three, Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to this earth 2,000 years ago and died on the cross and paid our sin debt for us so we wouldn't have to go to hell. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God hath commended His love toward us in that while we were yet... God loves sinners. God loves prisoners. If you think about it, before you were saved, you was a prisoner to your own sin, to Satan, to yourself. You are a prisoner. And so anyway, aren't you glad God loves sinners? Aren't you glad? But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. The fourth thing is important. You can realize you're a sinner, and that's good, and you owe a sin debt, and Jesus died for your sins. But you got to apply that salvation to your own heart and life. And the way you do that is repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A lot of people skip repentance. They think it's a work. Well, it's not. It's a really a condition of your heart. Repentance is basically just a change of your mind, a change of your heart, and you got to turn to God. And when you do that, you're turning away from that old lifestyle of sin. Once you accept the Lord in your heart, God will forgive you, but thank God He'll deliver you from that old lifestyle of sin. So instead of walking this direction, you're going to start walking this direction. Instead of living for the devil, you're going to start living for God. Instead of walking the path of unrighteousness, you're going to start walking the path of righteousness. So you got to repent. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall likewise repent you therefore and be converted that your sins might be blotted out. And that's what you want. You want your sins forgiven. You want your sins blotted out. You got to repent. You got to change your mind and heart and turn to God. It said they turned to God from idols. So you got to turn to God. I know some people say you got to turn from your sin. And I understand what you're saying, but you can still turn from sin and still not turn to God. So you got to turn to God from your sins. So once you accept the Lord in your heart, God will forgive you, but thank God He'll deliver you from that old lifestyle. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy... Not with your head. You know, we've got a... It's funny. I guess America probably supposed to be smarter than they've ever been. They do some of the dumbest things. Am I right about that? I mean, dumb. So what I'm trying to say is not... God doesn't want your head. God wants your heart. So confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart God raised him from the dead and thou might be saved. Hope to be saved. One, if you are saved, shall be. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there's three ways that God deals with a person. When you come to a place, you got to be under conviction. There's a lot of people that's heard the gospel, but there's no convicting power. So there's no wooing or drawing. So you got to be convicted. So this is how God convicts a person. When you come to a place, you get tired of that old life you've been living. You want a new life. How is God dealing with you? Secondly, when you come to a place, one time when you sin, you enjoyed that sin, had a lot of pleasure in that sin, you liked that sin. But now that sin bothers you. You feel guilty about it. You know it's not right. You know it's not. That's God dealing with you. Thirdly, you start thinking about heaven and hell. Where are you going to spend eternity when you die? When you start thinking about those things, that's God putting that on your mind. That's God dealing with your heart. That's God convicting you about your sin. That's God showing your need of salvation. So if God is convicting you, if God is convicting you, if God's convicting you, then you need to repent and believe with all your heart. So that's how God deals with a person. You come to a place, you get tired of your old life and want a new life. You come to a place one time, you sin, you enjoy that sin, but now that sin bothers you. Thirdly, you start thinking about heaven and hell, where you're going to spend eternity when you die. So with that in mind, is God dealing with you? Is God dealing with you? Is God dealing with you about being saved? Is God dealing with you about getting right with God? Is God dealing with you about surrendering your will to God's will? Is God dealing with you about Him being on the throne of your life and not you on the throne of your life? Is God dealing with you? So, preacher, what is the Great Commission? Well, the Great Commission is the death, burial, and resurrection. It's go, preach, baptize, teach. So, the Great Commission is go, preach, baptize, teach. Go, preach, baptize, teach. By the way, baptism doesn't wash away sin, does it? Then why do you have to get baptized? Well, when you get baptized, what you're doing, you're identifying yourself with the one who did save you. When you go in that water, you're showing Jesus death, burial, and resurrection. Now, I'm brought up Catholic, and they actually believe that water washes away original sin. Water won't wash away even dirt unless you put a little soap with it. Am I right about that? But how can something physical do something spiritual? It can't. It just can't. So anyway, all baptism means is you can be saved, and if you die, you're going to heaven. It has nothing to do with baptism. Baptism identifies you with Jesus and His death, burial, and resurrection. It's kind of like this wedding band. Now, we've been married 34 wonderful years. Say amen. Come on. I said that one time. She went, huh, I don't know what that means. But anyway, now I heard one preacher say this. He'd been married 20 wonderful years. She said, we've been married 30. He said, yeah, but only 20 was wonderful. But anyway, whether I have my wedding band on or not, I'm still married. Am I right about that? But when I put it on, it identifies me with the one I'm married to. So that's what baptism is. It doesn't save anybody. You may baptize 100 times. It won't change your heart. It won't change your life. So what I'm trying to say is, when you get baptized, you're identifying with the one who did save you, His death, burial, and resurrection. It also says that you died with Christ spiritually, buried with Christ, and resurrected to a brand new life in Christ. So the Great Commission is to go, preach, baptize, teach. Help me. Go, preach, baptize, teach. Go, preach, baptize, teach. Go, preach, baptize, teach. So what I'm saying, that's the Great Commission. That's what God's called you and me to do. Now, I want you to notice this, and I'll close. We need to be soul-minded, soul-conscious, soul-winning. Am I right about that? So if you got a gospel tract, and if you don't, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, and everybody said amen, because there's a bunch of gospel tracts out there. I gave a gospel tract to a fellow at the hospital, and I was walking. He was sitting on a bench, and I walked right by him. I gave him a gospel tract. When I turned around, he was reading it. So I turned back around. I said, are you interested in that? He said, God's been dealing with me. I know He has. I said, I'm troubled in my soul, and I need some help. So I sat down there, and I talked to him, and he got saved, all because of a gospel tract. You can do that. You can take that gospel tract. And when I first got saved, I didn't know how to lead nobody to the Lord. So I took a gospel tract, and I read them through it. I said, would you like to do this? Yeah. Good. Pray. And they just prayed. I didn't know what else to tell them. So what I'm trying to say is you can use a gospel tract. Am I right about that? So before you leave this place, you need to pick up a bunch of them. Am I right about that? You're supposed to witness. I'm supposed to witness. Am I right about that? So what I'm trying to say is it's so important to do that. That's the only way you're going to go, preach, baptize, teach. And then we go by faith. I wrote this down. Listen to this. Faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. Faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. When God told Abraham to leave the Ur of Chaldees to go into to the land of Canaan, he says, I'm going to bless you there. I'm going to make you a great nation. Guess what he faced when he got there? A famine. Anytime God tells you something, your faith's going to be tested. That's all there is to that. Your faith is going to be tested. But think about this, though. Faith that is not tested cannot be trusted. So finding God's will, doing God's will, pray, study, being faithful to church, God will show you His will. He'll show you what He wants you to do. So I'm going to close with that. And I want you to remember the Great Commission is to go, preach, baptize, teach. Father, we love You with all our heart, soul, and mind because You first loved us. Lord, You know who's here. You know who needs to be saved. You know who's already saved. You know who needs to get right with God. You know who's backslidden, cold, and indifferent. You know who's leading their own life instead of God leading their own life. You know who is here. You have appointed everybody in this building, to be here this morning. You've appointed them to do that. You've given us the church, and the church, the Great Commission, is to go preach and baptize, teach. So I'm praying today, this morning, tonight, this week, that You'll do something special in our midst. Thank God for everyone here. Pray they'll come back and even more to come. Just guide and direct us. Show Yourself real strong and powerful, mighty and real. Thank You for who You are, what You've done, and what You're going to do. We pray it in Jesus' name. With the head bowed and eyes closed, is if the pianist can come to the piano. And the piano begins to play in just a minute. If God has spoken to your heart, and let me say it this way. Preacher, I realize today that I'm not saved. And I hate to say this, but if I died right now, I do not know for sure I'm going to heaven. But I do need prayer. Would you pray for me? Slip up your hand real quick. Be honest now. The Lord sees your heart. God knows your need. Preacher, I'm not saved. Please pray for me. Please pray for me, preacher. Anybody at all, I'm not saved. Please pray for me. Preacher, I know I'm saved. There's no doubt. There's a time and a place. God convicted me, dealt with my sin. I truly repent and I accept the Lord. Preacher, I know I'm saved. If I die right now, I know I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand real high? Slip it up real high now. Let me see it. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Preacher, I know I'm saved, but I'll be honest with you. I am not serving God. I am not surrendered to God's will. The Lord is not on the throne of my life. I am struggling, but I know I need prayer. Would you slip up your hand real quick? Just slip it up. Slip it up real quick and then put it down. Be honest now. God sees your heart. Anybody at all? Preacher, thank you. I am not right. Thank you. There's some things in my heart that's hindering my walk with God. Please pray for me. Would you slip up your hand? Be honest now. Be honest now. You're not going to get right if you don't get honest. Be honest. Preacher, there's some things in my heart I know is not right and I need prayer. Anybody else? Preacher, there's some needs in my life. Spiritual, physical, emotional, financial. There's some needs in my life, and I know God's able to do something for me, and I want Him to do something in this revival meeting this week. I want God to do something for me. Slip up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Preacher, I want God to do something for me this week. It could be anything. Just slip up your hand real quick. Thank you. Thank you. Preacher, I've got a lost loved one. Needs God. Lost loved one needs God. Lost loved one needs God. And I'm praying for them. Help me to be an effective witness. Would you slip up your hand? As the piano begins to play, if you've got a need, would you come to this altar? Would you let this altar be your friend? Would you let this altar be a place of confession and communion with God? Why don't you come right now? If God's spoken to your heart, you can stand if you would. If God's spoken to your heart, would you come right now? If God's dealt with you, if there's a need in your life, If you just want revival in your own heart, in your family's heart, the church, if you want revival for our country, elections coming up in November, we need prayer. We need prayer. Why don't you come to this altar? Everybody standing if you would. Everybody standing. If God has spoke to your heart, maybe you got a little bit cold and complacent. Maybe you're not fired up for God like you ought to be. That's what reviving means, revival means. So if you need to come, why don't you come right now? If God's spoken to you, if God's dealt with you, if God's convicted you, if God showed you some needs in your life, just make an altar right there where you are. Would you pray and ask God to help you right now? God's Word. I'm thankful for the sweet Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for all your provisions and blessings. I thank you for dealing with hearts, working lives, dealing with souls. A lot of people raise their hand, and you know the need of their heart. There's somebody here that's not saved, and only you can save them. And I'm not trying to push them, but I do pray the Holy Ghost of God will convict them, deal with their heart, woo them, and draw them, and save their soul. I think about those that raise their hand. Some are just cold and indifferent. Needs reviving. We all do, honestly. We just need a revival again. Revive us again, thy people might rejoice in thee. So I pray you'll deal with their heart. Many of them got special needs in their life. Many of them got lost loved ones in their life, need to be saved. So I pray you'll woo them, draw them, convict them, and deal with their soul, their heart, their mind. Lord, please save. Revive us again, O God. Do a work in our hearts. We're a needy people. Only you can accomplish great things in this revival meeting. Only you can. And we commit it all to you right now in Jesus' name. Amen.